Begin the current daf Masechet Tzivah, Mes daf Mem Gimel. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion that Rav Nachman, the attendant, was having with his Rebbe Reb Avoh. That is, he had asked him a few different questions as they were walking, as Reb Avoh was leaning on him. And one of the questions he asked him was, if you have halacha, you have a Stam Mishnah, and even if you have afterwards a machlekes in the Brais, what would be the halacha? So he said, Stam Mishnah, halacha is like the anonymous Mishnah. If Rabbi Yehuda Anasi put it without attributing to a specific author, he wanted that should be the halacha. Now, on that Amalei, that's Rav Nachman asked to his Rebbe, Rebbe Avoh, Bavatnan, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim as follows. It says over there, Masrik Shel Pishnu, someone has a comb that's used for flax, Shenitlu Shinov, that the teeth of the comb were taken off, V'nishtai B'shtayim, but there were two teeth left in the comb. So then the Mishnah tells us, Timaeus, then the comb will still be considered tummy because it's fit for its utility. A kli is makabel tuma if it's fit for its utility. If you take away the teeth, then the comb has no utility. But if it has still two of them, then it's still fit. But for achas, if there would be only one left, then tahir, then it would be pure, because then this comb would have no utility and therefore wouldn't be considered a kli, and hence it wouldn't be able to be contract tumas kelim. Now the Mishnah continues, v'kulan shenitlu achas achas befnei atzman. That's, however, if you're discussing the comb itself. But regards when you take off the teeth of the comb, where it's not stuck into the comb anymore, and you take just the teeth, then actually, even if you have one tooth itself, then tameya. Actually, then that tooth will be tame, because it does have utility, because it's fit to clean out a candle, or to stretch out different garments, or to take apart one thread from the other. And therefore, the tooth, that one tooth will contract tama. That's regarding a comb used for flax. Shel tzemer, that which is used for wool, shenitlu shinav achas bein netayim, if there would be three of these teeth together, and some of them took out the middle tooth from those three, then tar, then the comb is going to be tar, again, because then it's not going to have any utility, this comb used for wool, if you don't have those three together. Now, the Mishnah says, Nishtari bo yikimu b'makam echad, but if you have a remnant in that comb for the wool, three teeth in one place together, then tame, then it will contract tama. Now, hoisuch hakitzayna achesimen, however, if the outer tooth, I mean the end part of the comb, was one of the three which completed that amount, now as Rashi tells us, the last tooth was a wide piece. Like Rashi says, similar to the combs that he has in his days, which were made out of wood, which was a thicker piece, that doesn't help for the utility of the, which are the teeth itself, which are thinner, then tahar, then it's going to be tahar. So even though you have three in a row, but since that last one is a thick piece and it doesn't really have the same utility as the inner teeth, therefore, although there's three, but since there's only two of the other type, it's going to be tahar. Now, nitlu beiz vason la malkit, if you take out two teeth from the comb and you use it to make a tweezer out of it, well then again, tameis, then it will be tame, which again is the crux of the halachas of tumas kelim. If it has utility, then it's tame, and if not. So if, regarding the comb, if you're defining that, well, if it doesn't have three in one place, it's going to be tar. But if you take out two of them and you make a tweezer out of it, so then it's going to be tame. Now, if you take achas, if you take out one tooth, v'eskinu laner, and you prepare it for it to be used as to clean out a candle, oil mituach, or to use it to spread out garments like the weavers do, which they spread out the pieces of leather with these pegs, well then tamei, then it's going to be mekabel tuma, as we said, because that one tooth itself will have utility. Now later on the Gemara is going to ask that it seems to be contradictory, because the first part of the Mishnah said that if you take out each tooth by itself, they will be tamei, even though you didn't prepare it. It didn't say anything about preparing it, because intrinsically it has utility because it could be used for all these purposes. And here it says that only if you were maskina, if you prepared it for the ner of mituach, then it will be tame. Anyone will address that. Now, but Rav Nachman concludes after quoting this Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, so he asks Rav Avoh, now, v'kayim alon de'en halacha kaisa Mishnah, that's a stam Mishnah, it doesn't have an author. And yet we say that halacha doesn't follow like that Mishnah. And you told me, which Rabbi Yechanan is quoted throughout Shas as saying, that halacha is like a stam Mishnah. So Amalei, Rabbi Avoh responded to him, says, Bar mina dahi, that Mishnah is different. Because Rabbi Yechanan Shlokish both said that that's not a conclusive Mishnah to be a stam Mishnah, and therefore you can't ask from that. Tereshi Gemara asks, my time, he says, the reason is, because there's a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. and therefore must be that we, it's not a Mishnah that we would pass like the Tanya, because as we learned in the Reish of the Mishnah, it said regarding a comb of tzel tzemet that's used for wool, shenitlo shinav achas mibein the time. We said there's three together. If you take out the middle one of those three teeth, then tar, then the comb is going to be tar. Now the inference is, but let's say there were two that were contiguous, two in a row. Here you're not having any one in a row because you're taking out the middle one. Then it sounds like then it would be tummy. It's only because here you only have each one individually. Yet Vahadatani, and then right after the Mishnah tells us, Nishtari by Gimel Tame. If you have three that's left over, then it's tummy. But the inference is Gimel and Shtaim Loi, that if there's three, yes, but two not, that the Mishnah is self-contradictory, and therefore it's not a reliable Mishnah. Rishi Gemara asks, how could that disprove the Mishnah? Well, my question, what type of question is that? Dilmaha, maybe this where the Mishnah said in the Reisha that if, as we had made that inference, that if there's two, that then it's going to be Tamei. That's talking about Begav Yasa, that's talking about the inner row. Ha, but this that we said that it has to have three is Bevara Yasa, is talking about the outer row. Like Rashi explains his primary pshat, says that there were two rows of teeth for the comb used for wool, the outer and the inner row. The outer was the primary work that was used for the combing of the wool. The inner one was just to hold on to the wool itself that it shouldn't fall. Now, therefore, the outer row, you need to have three in one place because that's where the primary work is. It has to have three teeth. But the inner one, you're right, it was enough for two because that's not the primary. Just to make sure it holds on. And therefore, how can you contradict that the Mishnah is not a Mishnah, even though it's a Stam Mishnah because it's contradictory when it's not somewhat two different components of the comb? The Gemara says, you're right. El Mahacha, rather, the contradiction of the Mishnah is from a different part of it. The Ketan, we learned in the Mishnah, it says, V'kulan shenitlu, regarding all these teeth that are taken out of the comb, achas, achas, b'fnei atzman, one, each one individually, they're tumeis. Now, it sounds like, V'afagav t'lo yiskina, as we alluded to this before, that even if it wasn't prepared, it just has utility intrinsically, so it will be mekabel tuma. However, Amos say, if you look at the Sefer, it says, if you take out achas, you take out one, v'hiskina l'ner elamituach, and you prepare it to be used to clean out a candle, or for spreading out the garment, then tamei, then tamei, which the inference is, hiskina in lo hiskinu loi, it's only if you prepare it for that, but if not, it's just a tooth that fell out of a comb, that doesn't have utility, and therefore that contradicts the Reish of the Mishnah. On that, the Gemara says, I'm abayu, my kusha, what type of question is that? Dilmaha, maybe that part of the Mishnah says that it doesn't have to be prepared, was bekatayu, was that when it fell off the comb, a piece of the wood of the handle of the comb fell off with it, which is a handle for it, and therefore there's no more preparation that it needs. It's already a bona fide utensil. But ha, belekitayu, but the one that says that it still has to be prepared is that nothing else fell off but the tooth itself. That can't be used. You have to make a handle for it, and therefore it needs tikkun. But that's not a contradiction. Additionally, Amra Papa, he also says in my kusha, what type of a question is this? Vidilmaha, maybe the one that says it needs tikkun, that still has to be fixed and finessed to make it into a kli tumah mekabel tumah, that's bekati nasa, that's by a small one, a thin one. But ha balimta, the other one was talking about that it's a thick one, that doesn't need a handle, you could just go ahead and grab onto it and use it, and therefore again, that's not a contradiction, so we're back to the question, if it is a Stam Mishnah, why did we say the halacha is not like that Mishnah? So rather, the Gemara says, the reason why the halacha wasn't like that Mishnah is because Mishum de Misaimi Badavkani is because the precise readers of the text of the Messiah of what the Mishnah is have that this is an addendum to that Mishnah, Zu Div Rib Shimon. These are the words of Rib Shimon, and that answers the question that wasn't a Stam Mishnah. You're right, Rabbi Vavo says, that the halacha is like a Stam Mishnah, and that seems to be a Stam Mishnah. But the reason why we say Ein Halacha Kais Mishnah is because Rabbi Yochanan Shlokesh say that we can't rely on it because actually the precise readers say it's a Das Yochid, Zu Div Rib Shimon. It wasn't just an anonymous Mishnah, and that's why we wouldn't pass it like it. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion of the previous daf and of our previous Mishnah regarding this halacha that when a woman had a previous relationship, she has to wait 3 months before she begins a new relationship. So Shalach Reb Chiya Bar Oven, he says, Ma'arsin Toch Gimel, the halacha is, you could get engaged within 3 months from having a previous relationship. And that's what people do. In other words, I've seen Chachamim do this type of a custom that they didn't have to require a wait of 3 months for engagement. As we have opinions in our Mishnah regarding engagement, that there's no problem of havchana, of differentiating the paternity of the child, because you're only getting engaged, not getting married anyway. That all you need is rubai shel, the majority of the month Rishon, of the first month, Berubah shel shlishi, in the majority of the third month. V'mtzoi shalom, and the entirety of the middle month. In other words, you don't need an entire 3 months to wait. The majority of the first, the majority of the last, and the middle, the full middle one, and then that'll be enough time to wait for engagement. You don't have to wait a full 3 months, which would be required if there would be marriage, because then there could be confusion about the paternity of the child. Related to this, the Gemara says that Amim Ashorili Aris B'yam Tishim. He permitted the engagement to be on the 90th day, which the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Ashi Lameimei asked him, but Rav Shmuel Amar Tavai, they both say, Tzrich L'hamtzei Gimel Chadashim, you have to wait 3 months. That's Chutz Miyam Shemesbay, excluding the day that her previous husband had died on, but Chutz Miyam Shemesbay, and excluding the day when she's getting engaged to her new husband. So how do they allow on the 90th day, which is going to be within that time frame? So that the Gemara answers that you can't ask from Rav and Shmuel. Actually, that's talking about a totally different halacha. That's regarding marrying a nursing woman. The Rav Shmuel Damit Havai, that they both say, Tzrich l'hamtin chofta al t'chodesh. Amim said that that's what Rav Shmuel said, that there's a halacha that tells us that you have to wait 24 months, and that's because we want that the woman should be able to finish nursing and only then have the ability of conceiving and then not having a milk supply. And on that, Rav Shmuel said, that's chutz meim shenold bay, that's excluding the day that the child is born, and that's excluding the day that she gets engaged. I mean to say, the child has to first, from the day after he's born, 24 months, and then that day after, then be able to get engaged. But that the Gemara asks, but there was a certain individual that made a feast for his engagement on the 90th day from when she had left in the previous relationship, and Rava made him lose out on his whole meal, meaning to say that they did not condone and sanction his engagement on the 90th day. So you see, not like your halacha. Nothing more answers, hahi sudas nisu in havya. Actually, that was a suda for the second phase of marriage, which is the chuppah itself, where that's forbidden to be done until totally after 3 days, and the 90th day there is not permitted, and therefore that's why Mavsipitin Erison, Amim was saying that that's permitted even on the 90th day. However, the Gemara concludes, v'helchas ad halacha is that regarding a nursing woman, tzricha l'hamtin chofta al chodesh, there has to be a wait of 24 months before someone goes ahead and marries her. That's chutz miyam shenolbay, that's excluding the day when the child was born. You can't count that from the 24 months. And chutz miyam shenasasabay, and that's excluding the day of the engagement itself. Now, moreover, betzricha, a woman that's not nursing, you have to be lahamtin gimel chadashim, you have to wait 3 months. Chutz miyam shemesbay, excluding the day that the previous husband had died on. And excluding the day that this new husband is getting engaged, it has to be, the Gemara paskins, a full 3 months. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah where we had three remachlokes regarding this halacha of the 3 month wait. We had the Tanna Kamma said in all circumstances you have to wait. We had Rabbi Yehuda who said that no, if the first one was just engaged, then you could get married. If the first one was married, then you could get just engaged. And then we had Rabbi Yasi. Rabbi Yasi said, his words were, Kol anoshim yis'arsu miyad. All married women, even though they were previously married to the previous husband, could get engaged right away because there's no problem of paternity, they're just getting engaged. Now, that's going on when he says, Kol anoshim, he's talking about that even if they were previously married. And that he says, which the Gemara quotes, Chutz min almana v'chulu, except for a widow, which we had explained when we read the Mishnah, that what he's coming to teach is that you would have to wait 30 days by the widow. Now, it's not going on a woman that's engaged and saying that, I mean, he's saying all women can get engaged, which we're saying that even if they're married, they can get engaged, like Rabbi Yehuda said. Now, the inference is not to say, but that if she was engaged, that she wouldn't be able to get married, because as the Gemara will illustrate regarding Havchana, differentiating regarding the paternity of the child, Rabbi Yehuda is actually more lenient than everybody, as the Gemara actually had said on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. So therefore, actually his primary purpose was to illustrate Chutz min almana, that he would be machmer, because within the 30 days of her avelis, then she cannot go ahead and get engaged because of her mourning, which Rabbi Yehuda didn't delineate that halacha. But regarding the halachas of Nesu Yisarsu or Arusa Yinasu, there he's the same as Rabbi Yehuda. Now, on the halacha of Rabbi Yisi, which again the primary point was this almana, that she can't because she's in avelis for 30 days that her husband died. And then Amr Rav Chizda asked the following question. He says, Kal v'chomer, Chizal wonders regarding Rabbi Yossi's opinion that he says is forbidden because of Avelis all 30 days, as later on we're going to learn in the Brisa that how much is her Avelis is 30 days. But he asks as follows. He says, Uma b'makim sh'as l'chabez, if regarding a specific halacha, and specifically regarding what's called Shavuah Shechal Tisha B'Av, Lias Pateicha, meaning if Tisha B'Av is during that week, let's say it's on that Tuesday or Wednesday, so then that whole week, there's a halacha that it's forbidden to be mechabes, to go ahead and wash, to launder one's clothing. And yet, mutiliyara still is permitted to get engaged during that week, because getting engaged is not such a great simcha, and simcha is forbidden, and the fresh clothing is forbidden, but getting engaged is permitted. So at a time when it's permitted to launder one's clothing, meaning the 30 days of avelis that the widow has, she's permitted to launder her clothing. Because actually the isra of the oval from laundering her clothing is only within the Shiva days, only within the 7 days, but for the entire 30 days, she's permitted to launder her clothing. So ain't the din shemut liyarsa, isn't it a kal v'chomer that she's permitted to get engaged during that time? How could Rabbi Yossi say it's forbidden because of avelis if we find the kal v'chomer that by Tisha B'Av Shavuah Shechal Bo, which laundering is forbidden, and yet engagement is permitted. So here where laundering is permitted, all the more so shouldn't engagement be permitted? So on that, the Gemara clarifies regarding this kal v'chomer that mahi, where do we find the source of this kal v'chomer regarding what we just quoted of Shavuah Shechal Bo? It's not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, it says, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av B'Teicha, the week where Tisha B'Av falls in that week. So asa l'sapu l'chabbos, so that week, you're not allowed to take a hair, you're not allowed to cut a hair, and you're not allowed to launder clothing. But on Thursday, Mutib Nekabra Shabbos, then you're allowed to because of the honor of the Shabbos that's coming up. That's the one exception. Now, B'Tanya Linda Braisa, Kaidim Azman Azeh, before this time, which the assumption of the Gemara right now is that before Tisha B'Av, meaning that whole entire week where Tisha B'Av falls out into, then Ha'am Emaitin B'Iskem, so then the people diminish the amount of work that they do, Melisa V'Litin, from having commerce, and Melivnes L'Antaya, from building and from planting. However, Uma Arsin, they do get engaged, because that's not such a great simcha, and actually you're performing a mitzvah of fulfilling mitzvah Pirvi Yivir. Avalai Kainzin, but you're not a consummate relationship with Nisuan. And also, Ve'in Oysin Sudah Sarasin. You're not allowed to even make a Sudah for the engagement, but you're allowed to get engaged. But one thing that we see is that engagement is permitted in Shavuah Shechal Bo, even though Kibbutz is Asr. So here where Kibbutz is Mutter, all the more so should it be permitted. So how does Rabbi Yossi say that Oysin is forbidden? And that the Gemara answers, Ki Tanya Hi, when did we learn that Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, that Ma'arsin, that they would get engaged? It wasn't Koidim Tisha B'Av, it was Koidim the Koidim. It was talking about that the concept that was being spoken about over there was Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lis B'Teicha. And then when it says that Koidim Azman Azeh, it means before the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in there, where there actually there's no more Kal V'Chomer, because you're allowed to launder clothing the week before the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in. But during that week, actually, it would be like Rabbi Yossi. Just like it's forbidden to launder clothing, it would be forbidden to get engaged, and therefore there's no makal v'chomer that Rav Chizkiya is asking on Rabbi Yossi. However, the Gemara still has the question. Amar Rava says, still, fine. But v'kaidim v'kaidim not makal v'chomer, even the week before the week that Tisha B'Av falls out, you still have a makal v'chomer to refute Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Because the Mab b'makom sh'asa lisa v'litin, if as we see in that Mishnah, which you're qualifying is talking about the week before the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in, where it says it's forbidden to have business dealings, and yet still in that time period it's telling us mutil yarsi allowed to get engaged, some makom sh'mutil lisa v'litin, so the Zavela, this woman that's widowed, who's permitted to engage in commerce after Shiva in the 30 days, so in the din sh'mutil yaris, isn't the kavachem that she allowed to get engaged? So that the Gemara says, that's qualifying Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Loi tema, don't say, like our girsa. Don't say Rabbi Yossi says that all women are permitted to get engaged, which essentially is Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, that even if you're previously married, he says you're allowed to get engaged because there's no question about paternity over there. And which that was why we had assumed that the main chiddush of Rabbi Yossi, if he's repeating what Rabbi Yehuda had said, is only regarding the exclusion of an almana, that she is not allowed to be a sar, so she's not allowed to get engaged, which we're asking why not, if by Shavuah Shechal Bo or even the week before that, you're permitted to hear for sure Yilaru. Eliema, rather, what you should be gairis is Kalanoshim Yinasu. He's not saying Kalanoshim Yisar, so actually all women are allowed to get married. As we continue our time in Beis, and that is what Rabbi Yossi is saying, Chutz Me'almana except for Almana. As Rashi qualifies now, based on this new interpretation, the new girsa, in Rabbi Yossi's words, it's not Kalanoshim Yisarsu, but rather Kalanoshim Yinasu, that that Reb Yossi is actually, his primary chiddush is not coming to tell us regarding the avelis of the almana. Because if now that he's talking about getting married, nisuin, there even Reb Yehuda would agree that it's forbidden for almana in the days of our avelis, meaning he would agree to the halacha of chutz me almana, because getting nisuin is a simcha, and that's forbidden in her shleishim. But rather, the primary chiddush now, based on this hagah, is yinasu, is that's what he's coming to teach. And on that he argues on Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Huda, all he said was, kala nisuas yisarsu. He says, even if you're previously married, but if now your new husband, you're just getting engaged, so that's okay, because there's no question about paternity, because you're not going to be having intimate relations, you're not getting married. And that is what Rabbi Yossi comes to say, that no, even nisuas kala nashim could even be yinasu. As Rashi explains, there's a three-way machlekes in our Mishnah regarding the qualifications of this three-month gap. Tanakhama says, even an arusa, who is only engaged, is still cannot even have an erusin to just get engaged now, because there's a double gezerah. He's concerned about the first erusin, because maybe the first relationship, you might come to confuse and do it even when she was originally married with nisuin. Moreover, he's concerned about the second marriage that is also only erusin, because then you might come to confuse it with even getting married, which that would be a problem if a nesua would then be yinasu, and then you didn't wait 3 months, then there could be a question with paternity. But Yehuda says no. He says nesuas could be yisar, so if she was previously married, she could just get engaged. We don't make a gzeira of eris and ata nesuin to say that, oh, if we allow engagement, we might allow marriage, which would then make a confusion. And he also holds arusas yinasu. If you were only engaged, you could get married, and he doesn't make a concern that if we allow her to get married, we might allow a previously married woman to get married, which would be a problem. But the primary halacha of avchana, of differentiating the paternity of the child, that Rabbi Yehuda holds of, and therefore he holds nisu cannot be tinase. But Rabbi Yossi, based on this interpretation, doesn't concern himself with avchana. Even a previously married woman does not have to wait 3 months to get married to someone else, even though we're not going to be clear about who's the father of this child, because it could be it's from 9 months from the previous one or 7 months from the new one. Now, if that's the interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we don't have the question of Rabbi Yossi saying that it's forbidden to have erusin, because as we proved, it must be an almana in our shleishim should be able to have erusin from the halacha of Shvu Shechal Tishba Vlis Betoicha, and rather he's saying a different halacha of Kal Nashim Yinasu, but not the Gemara asked, based on this new interpretation, does Rabbi Yossi not hold of this halacha of being able to differentiate the paternity of the child? So the Gemara says two answers. If you want, you could say, you're right, Leslie. He's not concerned with that. Or if you want, you could say, actually, la'olam isle. Truth is, he is concerned that we should be able to differentiate the paternity of this child. And still, he says, kol anoshim yinasu, they could get married. But halacha is, when he says kol anoshim, is not going on every woman, meaning even on a previously married woman. Rather, he's going back on a woman that was engaged. That woman that was engaged could get married. Now, on that, you should say, ve'em Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol, when he says kol anoshim, it means to say, kol arusais gerushais, all previously engaged women that then got divorced, you know, so they could get married, meaning the reason why it's, what the Gemara is adding the word gerushas is because then he says chutim almanas, which means to say except for a woman that was previously engaged that became an almana, she cannot go ahead and get married. That's because of our avelis, as we said, that avelis would, according to everybody, stop you from doing nisun, which is a simcha. Now, and that is because the Gemara later on will ask, is there actually going to be a chalais of avelis on an arusa? Meaning, you're right, an avela cannot go ahead and get married because that's a simcha. But the Gemara is going to ask, where do we find that a woman that's only engaged and then her fiancé, the one she's engaged to, dies, that then there's a chiyav of avelis to say that that's why chutzun amonah would not allow it if she's widowed and not just divorced. But that's the Gemara's new interpretation, that he does hold of avchana. And you're right, although he's saying that you get married, it's not going on a woman that was previously married, it's only that she was previously engaged. Previously engaged could get married besides for an almana. That the Gemara says, Hachai and Rabbi Yehuda. So essentially, that's the same opinion as like Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda also permits, as he says explicitly, a previously engaged woman to have nisuin, to get married. Now, moreover, actually, as Rashi explains, you can't say as we had originally assumed that what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to argue? Oh, he's coming to tell you the chiddush of Avelis. Because that you can't say, meaning that nisuin would be forbidden for her whole shleishim, because if now as we amended the text of Rabbi's opinion, there's talking about nisuin is forbidden, that everybody agrees because that's simcha. And as Rashi says, moreover, you have to say that when Rabbi Yehuda says that you could have Yinasu, they could get married, was going on the Grusha, which doesn't have Avelis. But regarding Avelis, everyone would agree. So where would Rabbi Yehuda be different than Rabbi Yehuda if we're talking about Arusas Yinasu? Rabbi Yehuda also agrees Arusas Yinasu. And regarding Chutz Almana, here Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Almana cannot be Yinasu. As we said, it has to be Yinasu, not Arusa, because that was the question we asked from the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis. That obviously you could have Arusin even in the Shleishim. So the Gemara says, you're right. That's not the point of difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi. It's actually what Rabbi Yisi doesn't say, that's where they argue. Ikebeinayu nisu li aris. The difference between them is a previously married woman, can she get engaged within the 3 months? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, as he says explicitly, Nisua mutaris li aris, a previously married woman is allowed to get engaged. As Rabbi Yehuda said, Hanisua is Yisarsu, because he doesn't make this gezera of that. Wait a second, if we let the previously married woman to get engaged, we might let her to get married and that would create a problem. That doesn't make a gezera. You just get engaged, there's no intimate relations, there's no problem. But Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Nisua asur li aris. He holds a previously married woman is not allowed to get engaged. And that's what Rabbi Yisi is coming to add on. Rabbi Yisi says, as we had just amended before to explain his opinion, he says, Kala Rusis Gerushas, Yinasu, every previously engaged woman that gets divorced is allowed to get married. And the reason is, since there's no Avelis, she's only divorced, not widowed. Now, moreover, he's not concerned about Havchana, because she's not pregnant. Now, he also, like Rabbi Yehuda, is not concerned that we're going to say that Arusa should be forbidden to get married because then we might allow a Nesua. That we're not concerned. Now, but where he does differentiate with Rabbi Yehuda is he holds that a previously married woman is not allowed to get engaged, and that's because, that's why he doesn't mention it. He only says Arusa Yinasu. Doesn't say Arusa, he says Kala Nashim, which we're saying that means to say Arusa Yinasu, but he doesn't say that Nesu Yisarsu. And the reason is because there you could be concerned then maybe she's pregnant, because here we're talking about a nesua. An arusa, there's no concern about pregnancy, because she was never intimate. And therefore, Rabbi Yisi was concerned that if we allow her to get engaged, maybe she's going to get married. And if she's coming from a previously marriage, where then she might have a child, then you're going to be running into the concern about paternity. So therefore, there is a difference between coming from marriage or going into marriage, as Rashi explains, because coming from marriage, there is a definite problem in this situation about paternity, if she is pregnant, and if we allow engagement, then she might actually go ahead and get married, then that's going to create a problem. But if she's coming from engagement, even if there's not going to be a problem of getting married, moreover, we're not going to say for a different situation where she's married, that's already extending somewhere else. But this case is never going to be a problem of paternity, so that's why he allows from Erison to Nisun. But from Nisun to Erison, that he doesn't allow, and that he argues on the Behuda. On that, the Gemara asks, the way we're explaining this interpretation now, and that's the point of difference between him and Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Yehuda holds that a married woman is not allowed to get engaged within 3 months. But by the time of the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kala Noshim Yisarsu, all the women, which sounds like even if they're previously married, are allowed to get engaged within 3 months, Chutz min almanim, they are evil, except as he says in the Mishnah, because of a mourning, v'kama ibal shalan, how much is her mourning? That shleishim yom, that 30 days. Now, v'kulan, and all married women, whether they were divorced from their previous husband or whether they were widowed, they are lo yinasu, they're not allowed to get married, meaning have the second stage of nisuin because of havchan of differentiating, because they're previously married, and therefore they might be pregnant. Achiyulan gimel chadashim, until they have a period of 3 months. That's the Gemara's question on the previous Gemara's interpretation of the new interpretation of Rabbi Yisi, which the Gemara asks now on this question of Haimai Kusha. What exactly from this Braisa are you asking on our interpretation of Rabbi Yisi's opinion? Elim Ediktani, if you're going to say it's because it says there in the Braisa that Rabbi Yisi Aimer, Kol Hanoshim Yisarsu, he says that all women can get engaged. Now, which sounds like you're saying, meaning even a married woman, and you see, oh, he holds that even the previously married woman is allowed to get engaged, not the way you're contending in the previous interpretation. I've had the Gemara ask, how can you say that's a question? Mia lima mimas nitin? Is it any better than the Mishnah? Mishnah says those same exact words. Deokimna barusas gerushas yinasu, which we have interpreted to mean to say, it doesn't mean every woman, even married. It means that she was previously just engaged, and then she gets divorced, and then she could even have nisun. So hachinam, here was in the braisa, kala rusis gerushas yinasu. When it says kala nashim, it means every previously engaged woman that gets divorced can then be married, even have nisun within 3 months. Except, as Rabbi Yossi says, from Na'amana, even if she was just engaged, that's for a different halacha, that's because of Avelis. So how could you refute the interpretation from this braisa? So rather the Gemara says, Ilm is safe. Rather it's from the seifa of that braisa. The Ketani, the braisa said, the kulan, and all married women that had nisuin from the previous husband, lo yinasu, they're not allowed to have nisuin, and that sounds like it's going on even a grusha that doesn't have avelis. And the reason is because we're concerned for havchana to be able to differentiate the paternity of the child, until we have a time period of 3 months. Now the inference is, in suvehu deloi, that when we're, as Rashi explains, we're obviously going on the halacha that the braisa says, nisuis lo yinasu, that a married woman is not allowed to have nisuin, because we already established in the reisha that arusis are yinasu. Regarding a previously engaged woman, Rabbi Yossi obviously holds yinasu, they could get married. And that's because there he wasn't geyser regarding the havchana of previously married women. So therefore the seifa that's saying lo yinasu, you're not allowed to get married, obviously is going on a previously married woman. And that we're saying is, but a previously married woman is not allowed to get married because there you need to have havchana to differentiate the paternity of the child, which obviously if going from marriage to marriage, you might not know who's the father of this child. However, the inference is so if it's going back in the case of nisuis lo yinasu, so they're not allowed to get married, but obviously a previously married woman is allowed to get engaged, and that when Rabbi Yossi is not geyser, so that refutes the previous interpretation that that's the point of contention between him and Rabbi Yehuda. Where you see clearly from this braisa, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yehuda that not only is arusa yinasu, but even nisua is yisarasu. Amar Rav Rava says, you could resolve it and say as follows: Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, kol arusas gerushas yinasu, all previously engaged women that were divorced can get married to someone else. Except for a widow because of her mourning. And as the braisa continues, so far he didn't change any of the text yet. How much is her mourning? That's 30 days. But what he does amend to the text is Venesuas lo yisarsu, not lo yinasu, as is the girsa that we had quoted before. Rav amends the text to say that a previously married woman cannot get engaged until there's a period of 3 months. And that is, as Rava says, that yes, most definitely the seifa is going on a previously married woman, as you said. But don't learn lo yinasu, rather mend the text to say lo yisarsu. And therefore, that's as we had previously posited, that that's machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi is more stringent on this point of that he holds that a nisua lo yisarsu. But on that, the Gemara asks as follows, on this whole interpretation. Valmana mina erisin mi isle ibo, and this is what we had alluded to this before, does a woman that was only previously engaged and now is widowed from the woman, from the man that she was engaged to, does she even have a halacha of avelis in the first place? You're saying that this whole halacha of Rabbi Yossi, that kol anoshim yinasu, is going on really, oh, not a previously married woman cannot get married. It's saying that a previously engaged woman can go ahead and get married, except for the almana. Yes, everyone agrees almana cannot have nisuin. But is there halacha of avelis of almana from just being previously engaged? But if his wife is engaged and she dies, so lo einin, he doesn't have the halacha of einin, which is the halachic status that a person has when one of his close relatives dies on that day. And if it's a kohen, he's not mitametar. Same thing is in the other way. Her, when he dies, the one that she was engaged to, lo einanis, she does not have the halacha of einin. And she's not commanded to go ahead and be involved in this burial to be mitame to him, because there's no halacha of avelus. Moreover, mesa, if she dies, ein yarsha, he doesn't inherit her. Mesu, if he dies, there it's different. There gave ksuba, so she gets her ksuba. And as Rashi explains, as it's told in the case where he wrote it to her from the erisin, and therefore she could still collect her ksuba. But one thing that we see clearly is that there is no halacha of avelus from erisin. So that refutes the whole entire interpretation that we gave before, that it's talking about arusa is yinasu, which only if they're divorced, but not almana, if there's no halacha of avelis, to exclude her from getting married if she's only an almana from erisin, where there's no avelis over there. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, we're going back all the way to the beginning. Truth is, as we had said in our Mishnah, it says, Kol HaNoshim Yisarsu, not amending it to Kol HaNoshim Yinasu, all women can get engaged. As we explained in the beginning of the sugya, it's going on a previously married woman. And there, regarding those primary halachas that the Mishnah is talking about, their abuse is the same as Rabbi Yehuda. Previously married can get engaged, previously engaged can get married. The difference between Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding the mourning. What is Rabbi Yisrael teaching us? That erisin is forbidden in the woman, the widow's shleishim, from being previously married, because being previously engaged is no avelus. Now, the whole sugya start off with a question that we said, that we see from the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, that koydim hazman, meaning the week before Shavuot Shachalboy, that although it's more stringent, still we say ma'arsin, and therefore how could Rabbi Yisrael still be here, which is a less stringent, that you cannot be ma'arsin, you can't have erisin. That the Gemara says, don't ask from that Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, because Tanoihi, it's a machlokes Tanoim, because there are opinions that say that the week before Shavuot Shachalboy is forbidden to have erisin. And that one that says in the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis that they are ma'arsin is not according to everybody, and Rabbi Yisrael doesn't hold of that opinion. The Tanoim, like we learned the Brisa, it's actually machlokes. Brisa says, Mirish Chodesh of Adar Tainis, all the way from Rish Chodesh up until the fast of Tisha B'Av, which is before the week that's before the week of Shavuot Shachalboy. So ha'am memaitin me'iskein. So the people already start diminishing their work. Milis of litin, from having commerce. Milib lisim lantaya, from building and from planting. Umele ares umelise. And even from getting engaged and from getting married, they already start diminishing already from Rosh Chodesh. That's like Rabbi Yisi. Not like the Tana over there that says, yes, ma'arsin. Rabbi Yisi is not like that Tana. Now the Brisa continues, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av B'Teicha, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in, then also the Sabbath Chabbos, then it's even forbidden to cut one's hair and to loan the one's clothing. V'yeshem kol chodesh asan, some say that actually that's forbidden even these halachas are forbidden the entire month. But one thing that we see is that there's a Tanoic opinion like Rabbi Yisi, and therefore don't ask kol chodesh from that Mishnah, because Rabbi Yisi doesn't hold like that Tana. On that, Maskel Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi asks on this resolution from this Brisa to say it's a machlokes Tanoim, my dili aris. How do you know that this Bryce that says, which you wanted to say that it's a Tana arguing on the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, that when they start diminishing from Rish Chodesh from being li aris, that means li aris mamish, meaning to say that even disallowing engagement, and you want to say that's like Rabbi Yisi. Dil malamevit, so this aris in Odasa, maybe when it says that it would start diminishing li aris, it didn't mean to get engaged, because that's actually permitted. As a kavachemer that Rav Chizda pointed out from the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, what they did diminish was actually the festivities of that, the meal they would make with that. Holy Arish Abadami, but you could say that there is no Tanoik Machloikis on that Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, and that actually everyone would agree that getting engaged is permitted, which then brings back the question on Rabbi Yisi. That the Gemara responds, what do you mean? Ihachi, if you're saying when it says it would diminish Arison, that means the Sudis Arison, well then, Milise, when it says that they would diminish marriage, Linase nami lemevet sudis nisun hudasa. So you want to say that what was it when it says lise linase? It means to say that they wouldn't go ahead, they would diminish the festivities of the marriage. They would only not make the meal. Halisa shapadami, but are you coming to say that, but they would allow marriage? That's not true. According to everybody, nisun is a simcha, which is forbidden. And therefore, if you see from nisun, it means the actual nisun itself. So here also you say that erison is the thing itself. So how can you try to refute my resolution for Rabbi Yisi by saying that erison means the sudis erison, when you see clearly it doesn't mean the meals, it means the thing itself? Tzvi Gemara responds, Hachi Hashta? Can you compare the term and the halach of erison to nisun? Bishlam nisun b'lei sudi ikasimcha. By nisun we could say that when it's excluding that it said they would start diminishing and not having nisuin, that it means the nisuin itself, because nisuin without a meal, there is joy to that. There is an actual marriage here. But erisin, just getting engaged without a meal, is there joy? It's not such a great thing. There's only forbidding her from everyone else. But she's not even able to consummate the relationship with the husband itself. So with the suda, that's a simcha that they would diminish. And therefore, the question does return to Rabbi Yisi, because who said this is this Tan and this Bryce is arguing the Tan and the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, maybe that Arison, according to everybody, is permitted. When it says they would diminish Li Aris, it meant the Sudas Arison. Whereas Nisuin, yes, that can mean the thing itself, because that's your Simcha. And then the Gemara concludes, Elamar Vashi. Rather, Ravashi says that Mechitesa, that there not necessarily is there a Machlokes Tanoim. And maybe actually Rabbi Yisi agrees to that Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, that the week before the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in, that ma'arsin, that you could get engaged. Well, then the question was, if so, that it seems to be a kal v'chomer, if over there, where it's more stringent, where, let's say, you have halachas of laundering or other halachas that they're forbidden, and yet erisin is permitted, so here, where these things are permitted, so for sure erisin should be permitted. Another thing Rav Asher gives two differences. It says, Shani Avelis Chadasha, a new mourning, meaning the widow who just lost her husband, that is, there, it's going to be forbidden to get engaged. That's different than Me'avelis Yeshana from an old mourning of Tisha B'Av. You're right, Tisha B'Av, it's permitted the week before the week that Tisha B'Av falls out to get engaged. But that's because it's an old mourning. It's from thousands of years that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. But a new mourning, there we're going to say that the Avelis would mandate that it's forbidden to get engaged. And similarly, B'Shani Avelis to Rabim, a public mourning is different, which is that of the entire Jewish people, that we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why it's more lenient and it's permitted to get engaged, Me'avelis to Yachid from the mourning of an individual, and therefore we could say that it's not a kal v'chomer from those halachas. There maybe you'd say that getting engaged is permitted because it's old mourning, but new mournings and personal mourning, which is from a husband that was just lost, that Avelis of Shleishim Yoim, Rabbi Yisi would be correct in saying, and it wouldn't be a kal v'chomer Tisha B'Av, that it would be forbidden for her to go ahead and get engaged because of the Avelis that she has. And that's what he means in our Mishnah, that kal anashim yinasu, that all women could get married, and anashim yisar, so they can get even engaged, except for the Almana, because it's not a kal v'chomer, and she's not allowed to get engaged because of her personal, individual, fresh, new mourning that she has from her previous husband that just died.